I think I'm on somewhere. Yes. Yeah, it is. Oh, good. La, da, da, da. Sorry. I actually like that song. It's so good to be with you this morning and to see so many familiar faces. And I was going to say old faces, but that wouldn't be very nice either. Some of us are looking older than others. And others have grown up before it seems like just overnight. You'll see Boss when he comes up. He's gained, we calculated he gained 4 inches since we left here already. That's just last August, so... just to say that we'll be having a time a little bit later to share more in depth and to show some pictures in a few weeks, probably closer to the end of the month. Lloyd and Candy have graciously offered their home and probably lots of other space around there. So we'll be arranging that because we didn't want to take a lot of time. You've been getting updates, I believe, and Charlie was and Judy were just with us, so they were able to give you a little bit of a capsule, but I do want to share just a couple of things before we get into the crux of what I want to share as a message this morning. I want to have all the young people between the ages of 12 and 18 to stand up, if there are any here. There's got to be more than that. Okay, 12 and 25, let's put it that way. Okay, now we're getting there. What do we got? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14. Okay, there's 16 of you. Okay, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Okay, everybody on this side of the thing, sit down for a moment. That's good. The rest of you just stay standing. By next week, if you were in Burundi, that's how many would be left standing. I just wanted to give you a little bit of a visual picture of what's going on. Do we have the carnage that's taking place in Syria or Aleppo or any of those places? No, we haven't, not yet. But what we are seeing is young men and young women kidnapped, tortured. You can sit down now. Disappear. Thrown into prison, sold into slavery, assassinated or killed. Many found with their hands and their feet bound. That's one of the realities that we are facing. Currently, there are over 100 young students who are in prison because they doodled in their textbooks the picture of the president of Burundi. One of the challenges that we face there is that the enemy is trying to wipe out a generation. And that's part of what we're trying to carry because we work with children. And one of the reasons why we have had to evacuate our children out of Burundi, they're in Rwanda, they've been there now for almost 15 months now, 16 months, and we can't bring them back. Because the minute we did in the particular place where our children's home was, is daily under attack, and young people are disappearing. That's just one reality. You know, it's not there. Marianne shared with me this morning, I wanted you to come, hon, and just share something about because we think it's only happening over there. I just want to say, and we'll get to it a little bit later, we're just as much in war here as we are over there. I think it's on, yeah. Okay.
First of all, I want to say it's so good to be with you. Thank you for praying for us. We pray for you every day. Every morning, Ray and I sit out on our deck and have coffee. We have a beautiful view that the Lord gave us, and we pray. And it's not because we're really great spiritual people. It's because we know that God hears. Amen. And we know that we have to hear him. Mm-hmm. Because it's survival. It's not just nice little prayer meetings we have, and we don't know how to pray always. I appreciated Peter's word last week. But in these days, we are in a war. I mean, God is fighting for us, that we have a place. Hi, Rob and Jackie. It's nice to see you. Sorry, I see all these people I haven't seen for a while, and never get to see you. But the truth is, it's no different in Burundi as it is here, and we were impacted by that coming back. You know, in the city where we are, we're not targeted, and where we live, it's fairly safe. Although we've had bullets land on our roof and zing past, and people have had them lay in their bedroom and in their house at different times. And you get on with things when you're there. And it becomes normal, which is kind of scary, because Judy and Charlie found that too when they were there. You could pretend that nothing was happening. But you know what? Here in this part of the world, we can pretend nothing's happening. And it's huge. We came back last week, and I tell you, we left a place where when you're going downtown, you have trucks filled with soldiers with rocket launchers pointing at you. And if you were close enough, they would hit you. And they blow a whistle, and you have to get out of the way, and they're everywhere. You get stopped. And like Ray said, every day, the week before we left, 500 were rounded up and taken. And half of them, parents, whoever, they don't know where their kids are. They're dead, most of them. And it's a horrible reality. But you know what? God's showing, really impacting me since coming back, that, you know what, we are in a battle. It's huge here. I mean, we feel it. We know young people who are struggling, and it is a battle. And it's a battle for this next generation. And if we don't stand in the place God has given us, we're going to see some much more. And I was just reading in a book that we've been reading called Fervent. It's a wonderful book on prayer that I'm going through with about 17 really brave women. And in the beginning it says, in The Lord of the Rings, the Two Towers, Theoden says, I will not risk open war. And Aragorn says, open war is upon you, whether you would risk it or not. And I feel like that's a prophetic word for us. That, you know, whether it's the gender thing, whether it's the gay thing, whether it's whatever, and we can get all worked up. And we were just talking with some friends the other night, and injustice is everywhere. But we need to wake up in this part of the world. I know, because it's so comfortable and it's wonderful. You can go to a doctor, you can go to a lawyer, you can go to the police, usually. Where we live, you can't do that. And I'm so thankful for the privilege of living where we are, because I'm learning things I probably would never have learned because it's too comfortable. But it's getting uncomfortable. And every time we talk to someone, we can hear, like, we're all concerned, right? But we need to really realize we are in a war. And God's given us everything we need. And he wants us to talk to him. He wants to speak to us. He wants to tell us what to do. And he does all the time. I just want to say quickly that I've been quite sick this last while. And I've tried to deny it and tried to work through it. And I've had prayer and realizing that where we are, I can't get the medicine I needed for the asthma that I was struggling with. And so it's like panic, fear. And then I realized, hey, you know, God, you're really there. And he's there. And I'm thankful for the privilege of not having support around, except prayer, which we've preached. But it's like when you don't have it, you know where to go. You have to go. It's survival. So I'm praying that we'll all realize we don't have any other place to go to. And it's a good thing. Because he is doing something amazing among us. He's doing something amazing in Canada and in the U.S., in this part of the world. And he's calling us to take part in it. And it's a privilege. So I guess that's all I was going to say. I said to Ray, I'm not going to say anything, but here I am. So I usually have something to say.
She probably has a lot more to say, and I know she does. And we'll probably have the opportunity to share that another time. We shared a few things the other night and the other day in prayer too. We have a dear friend, Everest, we work with, and we're privileged to work together on a big project that would be looking 25 years down the road in Burundi. He's a regional head of the Free Methodist Church, country director for Every Home for Christ. He was one of the ones I said since December, four members of his family have been killed. The last one was hacked to death. And then we have others like Ezekiel, who his uncle suffered the same thing. And we could go on and on about all of the crisis and everything that's going on. But I don't want to spend my time doing all of that this morning, because, you know, there is good news in the midst of all the chaos. God always has good news in the midst of chaos. And we can get so burdened down by the catastrophes, and so burdened down by the heaviness, and so burdened down by the injustice and everything, that we forget to see that God is still at work. Our children are in Rwanda. But God, in the midst of it all, has given them all an English education. They now speak five languages. Some of them are doing so well, they're going to have scholarships next year to university. And they've only studied English for 1 year. And they're finishing high school. That's the grace and the mercy of God. But we can talk about, we've this organization that Everest and I have, I don't know why he's asked me to be on it. There's doctor this and there's doctor that and there's PhDs and everything else. And then my name's on this thing for, as one of the founding directors. But it's called Dawn of Hope Africa. And he's got a vision for Bible schools and universities and humanitarian outreach and everything else. And he's not being burdened down by the stuff that's going on. In the midst of it all, he's still looking forward. And I want to say to us, we have to keep that kind of attitude within us. Things may get tough, but don't lose sight of what God is doing and what God still wants to do. Long Miles Coffee is another, some friends of ours are operating that up in the hills. There's war going on, but they're harvesting coffee. A clinic just opened. Our Najenga Training Center in Congo. Ecole Shalom Emmanuel Center, where Ecole Shalom, we've got 950 students there now. And again, this year, 100% pass rate out of the primary school. It's amazing what God is doing. Our agriculture project, we're now planting moringa. And anybody know what moringa is? Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, it's the next good thing. And God's given us grace and someone who's studied and who's open to plant that. Crusades are happening in Burundi. My brother Everest, he had a crusade last week. He says, "When are you leaving?" I said, "Well, I have to leave Thursday." "Oh, I was hoping you were going to come and speak on the Saturday." I said, "Well, what's happening?" He said, "Well, we've got about 20,000 people coming together in the south of Burundi, and they're all gathering together, and they want to hear the gospel in the midst of war." We've got a crusade happening up in the mountains in Congo in August. And everybody's saying, "You don't want to go into Congo in August. Don't you know what's happening in Congo?" Well, I'll tell you some things that are happening, but God is making a way, even where there seems to be no way. Let me just say this. God does his finest work in the midst of darkness. I don't know if we can get some of those slides up, but it should be slide number two. God does his finest work in the darkest of situations. And that's what God's at work doing. So we're facing all of these challenges, and yet we're not going to spend a lot of time. We could burden you down with all of it. But how do we handle these challenges on a day-to-day basis? My thoughts go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 and 19, because it speaks of God's faithfulness. It says this: "We who have run for our very lives to God have every reason to grab the promised hope with both hands." I think somebody here today needs to just reach out, even symbolically, with both hands and grab something. We grab hold of the promised hope with both hands. It's an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, reaching past all appearances right to the very presence of God, where Jesus running on ahead of us. See, hope always points to the future. The wonderful thing about our Christian faith is that it is always looking forward and not dwelling on the past and not resting and stopping in the present. It's always looking forward. Whatever may be happening in your life, whatever may be happening in our life, whatever may be happening in Burundi, God still has a destiny for us. When Abraham was on the mountain, he was just about to sacrifice Isaac. God steps in with a miraculous deliverance. Abraham called that place on the mountain Jehovah Jireh, which means God who sees. It also means the God who provides. See, whatever we are going through, whether it's in Burundi or here or in your life personally right now, we have a God who sees our situation. We have a God who understands our need. We have a God who will point us to the way out. And we have a God who will provide. To lose hope is devastating. And that's one of the things that I believe God has called us to do in the place where we are, is to be ministers of hope. We can't give a whole lot of things, but we can give hope. We can minister hope. Because for a believer, there is always hope. I'm reminded of Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22 and 25. It says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. You know, and sometimes we arrive at the end of a day and we just shout that out. Because of the Lord's great love, we haven't been consumed today. And you know, there are many in Burundi and even now in Congo as crisis is starting to unfold there, that they say, we're not going to be consumed because God loves us. For his compassions never fail. And it continues in verse 25, the Lord is good. Can somebody shout that out?
The Lord is good.
Okay, now I feel like I'm back in Africa. Okay? Once in a while, smile or wave a hand or jump up or shout or something, okay? The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In the words of a well-known hymn, it says, we have an anchor that keeps the soul, steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move. We're encouraged to plant our feet on the rock. We're to fasten ourselves to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. One of the things that Charlie asked if I would share this morning has to do with listening. And the question we say, are you listening? But more importantly, are you hearing? Are you listening? But more importantly, are you hearing? We have come to learn in the time that we have been in Africa that listening needs to be a step-by-step, by-moment-by-moment activity. And a good example of this is with Paul in Acts chapter 16. And Boss is going to come up and he's just going to read this scripture. Come on up, son. Mr. Long Legs. What happened to the little baby that we brought back 12 years ago? Go ahead, son. It's on.
Acts 16, chapter 16, verse 6 to 10. They went to Phrygia and then on through the region of Galatia, Their plan was to turn west into Asia province, but the Holy Spirit blocked that route. So they went to Mysia, tried to go north to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Proceeding on through Mysia, they went down to the seaport of Troas. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, "Come over to Macedonia and help us," the dream. The dream gave Paul his map. We went to work at once, getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans.
Very good. Thanks, son. You can give it to Charlie on the way. They had a plan. Their plan was to turn west into Asia province, but the Holy Spirit blocked that route. They tried to go north, but the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them go there either. Then Paul has a dream. Then it comes at the end, it says, and we knew now for sure. We knew now for sure that God had called us. See, God interrupts our plans to fulfill his purposes. God interrupts our plans to fulfill his purposes. It's an important part of listening and hearing is to do it in faith and to realize that we sometimes get so focused on what we need to do that we forget that God may have a different other plan. And that's one of the reasons why we have to, where we are, have to be listening. But let me tell you, you have to be listening here. But I just want to digress for a little moment because I want to talk a little bit about faith. Because if you're going to learn how to listen and to really hear, you have to do it in faith. You have to do it in faith. Faith is an attitude. It's a confident obedience to God's word in spite of the circumstances or the consequences. We must listen and sift everything we hear through the lens of God's word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance. I love what the Amplified says. The title deed, it's the confirmation. Faith has to be the confirmation. If our faith is alive in us, when that word comes, it will be the confirmation. Yup, this is what God wants us to do. Of things hoped for, of divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by our physical senses. So often we go into things and we say, oh, this feels good. But our faith has to comprehend something beyond our physical senses. This is important if we are to really and truly hear God and not just be listening. Faith has to be our foundation like a building. Our faith has to be so strong. And this is what we constantly are having to make sure that our faith, no matter what's going on, that our faith is rooted, that it will not be shaken despite the storm. One of the challenges that we're facing in Burundi, and one of the reasons I believe God has still kept us there, is many of the leaders have fled the country. Many of the spiritual leaders, many of the senior pastors and everything. Now, some for good reasons, because their lives were under attack, or they were threatened with death if they kept staying there. So I understand that. Others have fled because of fear. But it's almost like when the shepherd is scattered, when you strike the shepherd, the sheep scatter. And that's what happened. And so now we have many people come, Pastor, can you do that? I need you. Can you just pray with me? Pastor, can you just do this? Pastor, what am I supposed to do? Pastor, I need an answer. Pastor, will you just talk with me for a minute? Because so many of them have gone. Despite the storm, we need to stand. Faith is the inward conviction from God that what he promised, he will perform. We need to hold on to that. How do we get the faith? We know that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of God. Who are we listening to? See, we listen. I don't have my iPhone, my phone is over there. Charlie was laughing because every time we were going to go out, I would consult WhatsApp, Twitter, the latest blog, and everything else to find out what's going on. And then we say, well, yeah, but I need to filter those things through the Word of God. I need to filter those things by faith. It's hard to have faith if that's the sole source of information. And so often that's where so many Christians are. They're listening and they're panicking because they're hearing, they're bombing over here. Oh, they're taking people over there. Oh, there's a grenade attack over there. We can't go there. But we need to filter that stuff through what we hear through the Word of God and through our relationship with the Lord. And if we do that, God can use this very powerfully. But we'll get on to that in a bit. What they need to hear. We won't take the time, but Mark chapter 10 is an interesting story. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And, you know, they came to Jericho. He was leading, this is Jesus, his disciples. The Bartimaeus cries out. And when he heard that Jesus the Nazarene was coming, he began to cry out then. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And eventually in the story, Jesus says, bring him over here. I've heard him. See, the blind man couldn't see, but he could hear. And there are times when God makes a noise in our life or our circumstances that disrupts our normal. And that is the time when all you can do is holler out, Jesus! That's all you can do. And guess what? When you do that, he stops. And he responds. And many times I want to share it because it's part of what we're going through and what we're carrying. Many times for us, that is all that we have been able to do. We don't have the answers, but we can shout out Jesus. And we've done that in coffee shops. We've done that on the side of the road. We've done that in many places. We can shout out Jesus because he is more than sufficient in every circumstance. Pastor, my brother has been taken. Jesus! My uncle has been killed. Jesus! We can't return to our homes because they're waiting for us. Jesus! And every time he answers and he shows up. And the wonderful thing is, faith begins to grow. Faith begins to grow. Psalm chapter 1. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law, his precepts, his teachings, he habitually meditates day and night. Is this our habit? We have to have the habit of meditating on the Word of God. Because if we're going to hear, if we're going to listen, we have to have the Word of God in us. Yeah. He will do, if you do that, and that's my question, is that our habit? He will be like a tree firmly planted and fed by streams of water. We must absorb the Word of God. Someone said it this way, we must absorb the Word so much that it speaks back to us in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. We must absorb the Word of God so much, and this isn't just for Africa. Rob knows this with all their carrying in Ottawa and the government and everything. If you haven't absorbed, you have nothing to speak back. But it will speak back for you in whatever circumstance. We must live by faith and not just occasionally visit it. And that's one of the things we've had to learn over there. You know, Marianne was saying, it gets very comfortable here. In crisis, oh God. That's when we cry out. We can't live by faith. We can't just occasionally visit faith. We have to live it. And our faith is to be a growing faith. We're called to move, the scripture says, from faith to faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. I thought at one point it was just, well, I get faith. But we need to move from faith to faith. And it has to be a growing thing. Every need, every difficulty. One of the things that God has done in us in the last 15 years over there is that every need and every difficulty and every hardship has presented an opportunity for our faith to be exercised and to grow. Faith grows by being put to work. And that's the tragedy here in the West, is we don't have enough opportunity. Well, we do, but we don't take them, of allowing our faith to grow, to faith to faith. But it's not only what we think. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and to do super abundantly more than we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers. I love that part. Beyond the greatest prayers. Oh, we can have the greatest prayers out there, but he's able to do infinitely beyond that. Our hopes or dreams according to the power. It's not only what we think, but also what we say. Let the weak say. And we've encouraged people there. We've encouraged those who are struggling. You know, and this isn't power of positive thinking. It isn't name it and claim it. Please don't hear that. But we need to declare what we know by faith.
That's right.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. And as Peter reminded us last week, Nike says, just do it. But the Lord says, I have done it. And we need to hold on to that. What we confess and what we say are very important. And what we pass on as news often is just gossip, with little or no substance to it. We fall into that trap. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear? We need to filter, and what we say, we need to be sure of what we're saying. One of the greatest weapons that the enemy has over there is gossip. Rumors. Oh, they're going to attack here tonight. And everybody panics. Oh, they're going to, the Rwandan army is going to invade Burundi. Everybody flees. Right now, there are about 400,000 people have fled the country. Over 1,000 have been legitimately listed as killed, many more missing. But rumors. But do we listen by faith, or do we listen in fear? When we listen in faith, then we can realize that God can breathe life and hope into impossible situations. If we're listening in fear, we say, oh, we might as well pack it in, it's over. And we've wondered a few times. But see, God specializes in hopeless cases and situations. He specializes. See, God's character does not change, even though our circumstances change every 5 minutes. He's the same as he was 5 minutes ago. He's the same as he was 500 years ago. And he's the same as he'll be 500 years from now. God's character does not change. And hope, our hope in God and our faith in him, refuses to let circumstances triumph over courage. I hold on to that. I'm going to be as courageous as I can. I'm not going to be stupid, but I am going to be courageous, because I do know that his word will triumph. He, our faith in him, my hope in him, will refuse to let circumstance triumph over courage. It will refuse to let doubt triumph over faith. It will refuse to let adversity conquer compassion. We still need to be compassionate in the midst of what we're doing. And we hold on to the thing there, that God is the only one who will bring peace. The AU, the OU, the EU, the UN, or any other acronym that you choose will not bring a lasting peace to Burundi or Congo. Only God will do it. I want to give you a couple of illustrations. I'm just watching my time here. But I'm just thinking of a couple of circumstances that we've gone through that point, and some of you know a couple of these things. When the crisis first broke out, the Americans, God bless the Americans, they sent four huge jumbo jets to Burundi to evacuate all their people. And then they said as a rider, and if there's any Canadians or British that want to come, they can come too. Well, we were in a little bit of a crisis. It was quite a tense situation, and there were lots of shooting and lots of explosions, and people were being killed. There were fires everywhere. There were roadblocks everywhere. It was not a fun place to be. And everybody, it seemed to be leaving. Everybody said, Pastor, could you drive me to the airport? Why wouldn't I drive myself? And that's what I thought. I panicked. And I said, Marianne, get a suitcase together. We're going to the airport. I'm getting you and boss out. What? Where am I going? What will I do? Where will I stay? My response, I don't know. You just have to go. And I love what my wife said. She says, I will go if you tell me to go. But I sure don't have any peace in this. Yeah. I had listened to the shooting. I had listened to the voices. I had let the devil into my thoughts. I had not taken every thought captive. I had not prayed about it. I had not allowed the faith to be the thing I stood on. I was despairing. I was worrying. I love what one preacher said, fear is like a seed in the womb of your mind. And it's our choice whether we incubate it or we reject it. Now I had to come to the place right now. Get out. Get out. It was right that other people left, but it wasn't right that we left. And now we can see 15 months down the road why God keeps us there. See, when God says something, it cancels out everything anyone else says or what any circumstance dictates. We are to live in the awareness of God's presence, and that's what we're trying to do there. In Psalm 124, it says, if the Lord had not been on our side. Well, guess what? The Lord's on our side. It's an awareness that we have to live on a day-to-day basis. Not just over there, but here too. In whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. It's an awareness that it is the Lord who will keep each one of us from sliding into the path of destruction. Our listening ear could be the means of saving a life, enabling us to speak God's word into the lives of others and to be living a life with a new excitement and a purpose that Jesus describes as the abundant life. So we need to be hearing. We know that, see, God gives us things. I love what it says in that scripture, just the first part of it, Isaiah 50. The Master God, this is in the Message, has given me a well-taught tongue so I know how to encourage tired people. God, let me continue to do that. But you know, if you are alert, You can become sensitive to any number of ways God may use to speak to you. It may be things you see on an everyday basis in normal life. You may have walked past a particular gateway 1,000 times, but this time something stands out to you and you begin to speak it. It becomes imprinted on your mind. And God may well be asking us, and may be asking you today, what do you see? God asked many of the prophets this. Jeremiah saw something. Amos saw a basket of fruit. Moses saw a burning bush. And see, God speaks to us in those ways. You may see visions and dreams and pictures and have deep impressions that will not go away, and be aware of heightened emotions within you. Is God trying to get your attention? We can't be sleeping. It's in these times we have to stop and, like Samuel, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I love what it says in Job 33, and we'll remember a dear brother who's now with the Lord, James Ryle, when he taught on this. For God does reveal his will. He does speak not only once, but more than once. First one way, and then another, even though men do not regard it. I think sometimes with God, we're sort of like, you know, the classic picture of the husband who's reading the newspaper. And the wife's trying to get his attention. Dear, there's something happening outside. Yeah, okay, I hear you, yeah. And it goes on and on, but the house is flooding. Oh yeah, it's okay, I'll get to that. Yeah, yeah. Did you know what happened to our daughter? Yeah. I love you. Yeah, so do I. Where I'm going to have a baby. Oh, that's nice, dear. Yes. You know, it's like, and I know that none of us as men or husbands have ever done that. But I've heard of others who have, right? We hear, but we're not listening. Or we're listening, you can reverse it, but we don't really hear. I love what it says in the Message in Isaiah. Listen hard, you aren't going to get it. Look hard, but you won't catch on. Make these people blockheads with fingers in their ears and blindfold on the eyes. They won't see a thing, they won't hear a word. They won't have a clue about what's going on. Saints, as a church, and for us in Burundi and Congo and Rwanda, wherever God leads us, but just as much here, we need to be people who have a clue about what's going on. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 5, it says, I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears, they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts. But we need to hear. We had another couple of situations. I'll just share it. I'm going to wrap it up here. Any of you remember, I was supposed to go to Minimwe, which is in the south, up in the mountains. And we have a work up there that we've been trying to go. They're going to fly us by helicopter and everything else. But we just, sometimes it just doesn't work. And I was poised to go, and we were going with a team, and we were going to have crusades, and it was a wonderful time. There was a team of pastors were going, and Reuben and I were going to be part of that, and they were excited that a white man was coming. I'm the token white man that comes. I mean, it's amazing the honor that they give me, and I don't know why. But I'm running around, and Marianne remembers, I'm all packed, and all of a sudden I couldn't find my shoes. I said, Marianne, where's my shoe? I don't know, where's your shoes? I said, oh, come on, I'm looking, I'm tearing everything apart. I'm getting panic. I can't find my shoes. I can't find them, this is ridiculous. Maybe they've stolen my shoes. And Marianne said this, says, maybe you're not supposed to go. Yeah, but where are my shoes? But finally, are you trying to say something here, Lord? Yeah. And it felt like the Lord said, you won't need these as you won't be walking anywhere today. Simultaneously, Reuben was packing. And he was getting everything ready, and he turned to Mama Bea, and he said, Mama Bea, you know, he said this in Kirundi, of course, he says, I feel like I'm packing, but I'm not going anywhere. I contacted him, and I said, you know, I don't think we're supposed to go. He says, yeah, and then he told me the story. So we contacted the others who were going with us, and they were very disappointed. They had lots of things planned and different things, but they decided to go anyways. They were obviously disappointed that we were not going to come, but decided to go. Our bus was attacked. 7 of the 13 passengers, all pastors, all Banya Malenge, of which the tribe of Reuben is one, were taken out and killed on the spot. The others were beaten and robbed, and the bus was set on fire. Recently, we were supposed to go to Marungu, and you must be getting tired of my thing. I'm going into Congo. I'm going up in the mountains next week. Everybody prays, and we didn't make it. Well, you have to be listening. If anybody knows me, and Marianne will testify this, if there's a chance for me to go anywhere, I'm the first one on the bus. I don't care if I have to walk for 2 days up in the mountains. I love it. The more challenge, the better it is for me. We were supposed to go up to Marungu, and then we found out that we can get a car and this or the Jeep, and it'll take us, and it's only going to cost us $800. I said, $800? And we're only going for 3 days? I said, I can't do that. I just can't justify that when we're trying to feed kids and we're trying to keep kids in school and everything else. And Kadume says, well, I found another deal. We can go on a moto. All of us, and it's only going to cost $300. Now I had disquiet. Actually, I began to physically feel pain in my back and my butt, remembering the last trip that I took on a moto going up into the mountains. But it was the Lord. Listen, it was the Lord. I said, I'm not at peace about going. I think we should wait and see. We found out the next day that they had rerouted the road into the mountains, and a group working for a mission and an NGO working for Croix Rouge, which is Red Cross there, they went, they were attacked, two were killed, and everything was taken. And we would have been on that road in a car or in moto. Daily, when I run, I ask God which route I should take. And more than once, he has directed me. Some of these times I haven't told Marianne. One time about 3 weeks ago, well, best about a month ago, and I've missed many serious, potentially dangerous encounters. Right down below the President's Palace is where I usually run on that road, and I decided to go the other way that day, was coming back up and continuing my run. 15 minutes before I got there, a car was attacked. The car was still sitting there with the bullet holes and everything in it, and they were pulling people out just before I passed by. We need to listen. And there's more I could say. God's got more to say. We need to stop looking and begin seeing. As I said, God interrupts our plans with his purposes. God says often, I will lead you by the way you can't possibly understand. And that's the exciting thing. We have to have our eyes opened and our spirits sensitized, not just to listen, but to actually hear. Because your and my ability to hear God could save a life. Your and my ability to hear could save your life. And it's essential to train ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit. Because you could find yourself in a situation where you are the only person who has the ability to hear God. He might use you, just use you, to save the lives of others who perhaps at that moment are not able to hear from heaven. Many are calling out, but few are taking the time to listen. We must listen, we must hear, and then we must act. I trust it's encouraged you a bit, just provoked you to be more intentional about not just listening, but actually hearing what God is saying on a day to day, a moment by moment. We live in that every day. Charlie will testify to this. We don't even go to the store without first asking the Lord, is this the time we're supposed to go? We don't go to a coffee shop unless the Lord says, now this is the coffee shop you're to go to. And many will remember the time when Chrissy and I had taken Chrissy out to get some food, and we said, let's stop for a coffee. And she just said this, she says, let's not stop at Cafe Gourmand. And Charlie knows what Cafe Gourmand is. Oh, yeah. Says, I think we should go to the other cafe. We went there 5 minutes after we passed. 3 grenades went off right there. We need to listen. But as Marianne was saying, it isn't just in Africa. We are facing challenges here, unprecedented. We see them as we come into the situation afresh. I mean, I'm reading some of the things that are going on. Rob, I pray for you guys and what you're doing there. When I hear some of the legislation and the ideas and the things that are coming out of the government now, and listen, I'm not picking on political parties, but it scares me. I said, where have we gone? It isn't just in the South. It isn't just in America. I mean, that reality show that's going on down there. We tune into CNN at 7 o'clock every night to find out what the new thing is. It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I just like to say, you got to be kidding. But we need to be listening here. We can laugh and we can say, oh, those guys down there, Trump, whatever, you know. I mean, those guys are a basket case. No, we got problems here. We need to hear what the Spirit is saying. We need the people who live by the Spirit, who hear in faith, and who hear because we've absorbed the Word of God, and we can hold what we hear up against as a parallel and say, I'm hearing that, but okay, they mesh together. That's where we need to be. Need to be absorb it, the Spirit, and absorb the Word so much that it will speak out in whatever circumstance we find ourselves in. It's great to be back, everybody. And God bless you. Charlie, come on.